You may remember, I hope you remember, last summer I shared a series of sermons on overcoming. Talked about how God and His Word can help us to overcome common emotional and spiritual struggles like fear and shame and disappointment. And we're going to return to that topic for the next several weeks. And so during February, we're going to talk about overcoming anger and loneliness, overcoming sorrow. And this morning, we're going to begin with overcoming anxiety. God has promised to walk with us through the dark and difficult and worrying moments of life, to be our ever-present help during times of trouble. And the Spirit gives us strength to overcome the challenges that we face. And for many of us, I think it's true for most of us, that the toughest battles that we face in our lives are waged inside our hearts and inside our minds. And God wants to help you to win those battles, help you overcome those struggles. There is an anxiety monster who lives in our house. He's usually calm and quiet, but sometimes his anxiety boils over and he loses control. His name is Blaze. He's our little furry dog. Blaze is a happy, content animal most of the time. He likes to nap in a warm spot when the sun is shining through the windows. He loves to play with his toys, but it doesn't take much to burst his little peaceful bubble. Blaze has learned, for instance, the rumble of the UPS truck. He'll hear it coming down the street far before any of the humans in the house hear it. And when he hears it, he just can't contain himself. He rushes from window to window, barking his head off, because you see, sometimes the UPS man will get out of his truck, and can you imagine this, walk to our front door and wait for it, ring the doorbell. And the doorbell unleashes a fearful anger in our dog, Blaze. He can't subdue his anxiety as he rushes from the front door, where he knows that doorbell must be ringing, all the way to the back door where he can get outside in his desperation to get at this intruder. Yes, Blaze sometimes has trouble controlling his anxiety. And sadly, I don't really have much help to offer him. If I did, he wouldn't listen to me anyway. But for us humans, there is some good news today, and that is that God doesn't want you to live with your anxiety. And so He offers us ways that we can overcome our worries, overcome our nervous fearfulness. So listen to these words of wisdom from Philippians chapter 4. It's a very familiar passage, and I want us to focus partly on the anxiety word that you'll hear in just a minute, but more so on everything else around the anxiety word. So Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the peace of God, and the God of peace will be with you. You know what anxiety feels like, right? We all experience anxiety sometimes. Of course, there are some people who suffer from a genuine psychological disorder, and it goes by a number of names, but this condition of uncontrollable anxiety. And that's a very serious thing that if you think you might have, you should talk to your doctor about and get treatment for that. Certainly God wants to help you with that, but I think all of us deal with some form of anxiety from time to time. On the extreme end of it, I have a friend named Jorge who used to get what he would call panic attacks, and whether that's a medical diagnosis or not, but he said it felt like a heart attack. He would start to feel stress, he would start to feel worry, and then he would get a tightness in his chest, he had trouble breathing, he would start sweating all over. It was a genuine panic, anxiety attack, and it was debilitating for him. And these would come and go over the course of a couple of years, and he would come to see me, and we'd talk about various things in his life, and he was dealing with real life issues. He went through a divorce. He went through a number of issues with his children. And that stress and worry manifested itself in these panic or anxiety attacks. For most of us, though, anxiety isn't really that traumatic. And yet it's still there. It's kind of a nagging problem. It's like a heavy stone that we have to drag around with us. And maybe you even forget you're dragging it around because it's just become a part of how you think and go through your day. We worry about what might happen. We worry about what could happen. There's sort of a dark cloud on the horizon. There's something hidden there in the dark. There's something waiting behind the next corner, and we don't quite know what it is, or maybe it's not even there at all, but we worry about it. It might just be in your head, or it could be real. It could be a real, genuine problem that you have anxiety about, but either way, that darkness looms over your heart, and you just can't stop thinking about it. You can't stop worrying about it. And again, I think we all feel like that from time to time. You might feel anxiety about things like money. Am I going to be able to pay the bills? What if something unexpected happens and then the money that I thought would be enough to get through is not enough because now there's less of it? Or maybe you feel anxiety about your health or about the health of a loved one, and that, again, could be a very real thing that you need to deal with in your life, and yet you have anxiety about what may come down the road. Maybe you feel anxiety, and I think this is very common, particularly among young people, but maybe all of us, anxiety about what other people think about you, about how people perceive you, or what someone might think about you if you do something or say something that maybe they don't like or they're offended by. Maybe you have anxiety about a conflict. Maybe there's a relationship in your life that fills you with anxiety because you know there's another argument around the corner, or if you don't treat that person the way they insist upon being treated, that it's going to blow up into another conflict. And maybe it's someone in your family or someone you work with, or it could even be someone here at church that you walk on eggshells around because you have this sense of we don't know when something's going to boil over. And in you, it feels like anxiety. We need to understand that anxiety is a natural emotion. And that's true with a lot of these issues that we've been talking about, how God helps us to overcome these internal struggles that we have. All of these internal struggles are common to human existence, to the human experience. We all feel anxiety. That's not sinful. It's not wrong to feel anxious. But God doesn't want you to dwell in that anxiety. He doesn't want it to become consuming in your life. God doesn't want you to be consumed by that fear and that worry, that uncertainty about what may come next. God wants something better for you. So we need to begin with the hard reality, and that is this, that anxiety floods your heart with fear and worry, or whatever words you want to put there, but anxiety floods your heart and then it washes away the joy that God wants for you, the joy that God offers us. And see, in many ways, anxiety is the opposite of joy. Joy is sort of a spiritual excitement or hopefulness. That things are good, that God is good, that He's watching over me, that things are right in my life because of God's goodness, and I can feel joy because of that. Anxiety, on the other hand, takes our focus off of God and off of God's goodness, and instead draws our focus to the problems and the uncertainties and the what-ifs and the whatever is around the next corner and all the negative things that could come. And so Paul writes here in Philippians chapter 4, first he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And then he says, "Do not be anxious about anything." And you can see the contrast in those two statements. Rejoice always, don't be anxious about anything. Now I understand we can't help feeling anxious sometimes. But again, we don't need to dwell in that anxiety. We don't need to allow those anxious thoughts and worries to put down roots in our souls. And I think most of us already have. Anxiety is already rooted deep in our souls. You see, instead we need to choose to rejoice. We need to find what is good and right and true. We need to choose to focus on God and His love for us instead of all of those anxious things. And so the first piece of helpful guidance and wisdom from this passage is this, that rejoicing in God's goodness pushes back against the anxiety. Rejoicing in God's goodness. We often think of rejoicing as sort of the same thing as worship, praise. They're sort of words that we use interchangeably. But we need to understand that you don't have to sing to rejoice. You don't have to come to church to rejoice. We gather here and worship corporately and sing our songs and do all the things we're doing this morning. And those are forms of rejoicing, forms of worship and praise. But the root of rejoice is, of course, joy. And joy is something that happens in your heart. And you don't have to sing to feel joy. You don't have to be with other people to feel joy. Joy is something that God gives us because of who He is and something that happens deep in our hearts, deep in our souls, and we can still be filled with joy even if you're all alone, even if you're sitting quietly, even if things are not perfect in your life. You can still feel the joy that God gives us. Because you see, joy comes from God, which is why Paul says we rejoice in the Lord. We don't rejoice in the things of this world. We don't rejoice in the bad things that happen to us. We rejoice in the Lord. God gives you joy. We have joy because we know that God loves us, that God is good to us. We have joy knowing that we have new life in Jesus Christ. And we have joy no matter what we face in our lives, we can rejoice. We have joy knowing that the Holy Spirit dwells within us and gives us comfort. And that promise that Jesus made to us, that the Spirit would dwell within us and be our comforter, that is our source of joy, even when everything around us is difficult and dark and would otherwise cause us to feel anxiety. We can rejoice even through the hard times. Even when we face that uncertain future, even when we face the scary situation in our lives, we can still rejoice because we remember that God Himself, God is still good. And He will never leave you. And He will never forsake you. And that's why we rejoice. Which is exactly the point of Philippians chapter 4. I think we could rework the translation here just a little bit. And read it this way, when you start to feel anxious, rejoice instead. Choose to replace that anxiety with remembering God's goodness. And let His goodness and love push back against the anxiety, to push that worry and fear and the stress that you feel out of your heart so that instead joy can begin to put down roots. and can take the place of that anxiety. A second way to fight back against anxiety is also the most powerful tool that God has given us to deal with the issues that we face in our lives. And that is that prayer brings you God's peace in place of anxiety. Prayer. Paul says again, do not be anxious about anything, but instead, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And when we do that, what is the result? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So when you feel anxious, when that anxiety begins to flood into your heart, when your mind begins to race through all the what ifs and what's around the next corner and all those worries, stop and pray. Stop those thoughts from running through your mind. Stop the negative feelings and worries and pray. Give those worries to God. Put those problems into His hands. Ask that the Holy Spirit will be for you what Jesus promised the Spirit would be, which is a comforter and a counselor. A comforter to give you that peace and a counselor to show you the way forward through whatever that source of worry is in your heart. Ask that the Spirit would do that for you, just as Jesus promised He would. And as you pray in that way, as you pray instead of worrying, as you pray instead of feeling anxious, then you will find something new and wonderful growing inside your heart. And that is this thing called the peace of God. The peace that comes through knowing Jesus Christ. This peace that is beyond our understanding, beyond our ability to put into words. And I think it's beyond our ability to understand because we don't fully understand its source, because that source is not in this world. It doesn't come to us by following the ways of the world. The peace of God that we can't fully understand comes to us through knowing Jesus Christ and by inviting the Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives. And this is why Jesus said, you remember Jesus, before He went to the cross, He gathered His disciples in the upper room, and we have several chapters of what He said to them in John's Gospel, including these words, which are really a centerpiece of that passage. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid." You see, Jesus understood that the world gives us fear and turmoil and anger and worry and all of the garbage that we see every day in the world. That's what the world offers us. And all too often we accept what the world gives us. And we think, well, this is as good as it gets, I suppose. This is just my lot in life. I guess I may as well worry about it. But Jesus says instead, no, let me give you peace. It doesn't mean your life will be perfect. Doesn't mean all those bad things go away. But it does mean that through the bad things, instead of being consumed by or dwelling in that anxiety, we can begin to dwell in the peace of God. We can choose to rejoice. We can choose to pray instead of worrying. And then Paul gives us another, what I think is a very practical way to overcome anxiety. And again, anxiety is something that happens in your mind, in your heart. It's an internal struggle. And so here is a way to overcome that with a way to replace what's happening inside your heart and your mind. And that is this, filling your heart and mind with the good things of God helps to overcome anxiety. You've heard the saying, misery loves company, right? I think about that every March when my basketball team loses in the tournament. There are 63 other teams that are going to lose too. Everybody's miserable this time of year, right? Everybody else is just as sad. But I think there's some truth in that statement. It's a terrible statement, but it's true about human nature. There is something in us that when we are feeling down causes us to seek out other bad things. Some people try to mask their pain with more pain or with self-destructive behaviors. People who have been hurt often turn around and hurt other people. There's something inside of us that works that way. It's a symptom of the brokenness inside of the human heart. But the Holy Spirit calls us to do something that is just the opposite. And it's especially true when we're feeling anxious. And so Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Fill your heart, fill your mind with those good things. And I know it's tempting to read a verse like that and think, well, there is nothing good in this world. There is nothing noble. There is nothing pure. There is nothing admirable. Which, of course, is what the enemy wants us to think. But then we're reminded that God's Word is true. And we can read God's Word anytime we want. And then we're reminded that there's beautiful music, like we've heard this morning. And that's good for our souls. You can go take a walk in the woods. It's warm enough, you could do that today. And enjoy the beauty of God's creation while broken in some ways by our sin. It's still a beautiful world that God has created. You can talk with someone you love. You can think about God's grace and God's glory and the amazing perfection of who God is. There are good things. Fill your heart and your mind with those true and right things instead of dwelling on the anxious thoughts and fears. And that's a choice that you have to make. And it might not be easy, but God is reminding us that there are good things still in this world. There are hopeful and truthful and noble things. And it's far better to let those things into our hearts. Those good and beautiful things, instead of allowing ourselves to just drown in all the negative, broken, ugly things of this world. The problems in your life are real. And I don't want you to think that by overcoming anxiety, we just ignore or lie about what's happening in our lives. We don't live perfect lives. You might have a good reason to feel anxious from time to time. Life has plenty of hard moments and reasons to feel sad, but we don't face those difficult things alone. And they won't last forever. And even the worst things that happen to you, even those things that do bring anxiety into your mind, none of those things define who you truly are. And so we choose not to dwell in anxiety. We choose instead to rejoice in God's goodness. We choose instead to pray and to seek the peace that God offers us. And we choose instead to focus on what is true and good and beautiful in this world. And when we do, we find that peace that God offers us. That is far better than anything this world could give us. So let's give thanks for this good news today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we praise you for your goodness and for the good things that are in this world and for the truth of your word and the truth that we can seek after you and rejoice in you and pray and bring to you our burdens and concerns. And you are still a good and powerful God who can lift us up. So, Father, I pray for each one who's here today and for the anxious moments that they face and for those worries that may have been plaguing their hearts and their minds, for days or weeks or years, and I pray that you would release them from that anxiety and that you would help your peace to take root deep in our hearts. Help us to rejoice in your goodness. Help us, Lord, to turn to you and find the good things that you offer us. We ask this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.